Welcome to the Difference Radio Network, brought to you by thedifference.tv, where you can join us in opening humanity's heart and touching the lives of 6 billion people.
Well, good afternoon. This is Janetta Haim with Beyond the Heart, coming to you again this Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. Sydney time. I'd like to welcome all my listeners, and I've noticed from the figures that there is quite a number of people that are listening into the show from all over the place, and I do go in and check. So thank you and welcome. It's nice to be connecting, even though this is not a live show in the sense that I'm talking to somebody and having people call in. It is nice to know that there are some people out there that are hopefully making some use of the information that I am putting on the Blog Talk Radio. I would also like to say a big thank you to The Difference, thedifferencetv.com. I'd like to encourage people to go and have a look and see what we're doing there. And the thank you to The Difference is concerning the opportunity to do this. If somebody would have told me years ago that I would have been going across the internet airways, across Facebook and across LinkedIn, and all the other places that this gets posted to for people to listen to, that my voice would be going out there and that I would be able to have the opportunity to interview all the people that I have interviewed, and that I wouldn't be too chicken to do this. If somebody would have told me that years ago, I would have laughed at them. And The Difference has certainly made a difference to me in terms of coming out of my shell and being able to come to you across the world, actually, which is the different places I'm getting some of the people listening from. So I'd like to say a big thank you to Jacqueline and all the people, and Robin and all the people involved there, for the energy and the strength and the courage to be able to do this. And this is like my around about my 30th show or something like that. Not that I'm counting, but I've done an awful lot of shows, and I hope I've put some useful information out there. Now, today, you're getting me speaking to you again. This is one of my information shows, and I'm going to speak about the art of feng shui. Now, those of you that can pronounce it properly, please forgive my Australian accent, right? My real Aussie dinky die accent. It's feng shui, and it is the art of placement, the art of where we place things around us in our energy, the external energy around us, and basically our external energy, what we see around us, our environment, is a reflection of what is going on inside us. So it becomes very important, the area that you work in, the area that you live in, the people you have contact with that come into your energy. This is very, very important. And it is a reflection of what is going on inside you. So please, if you're having problems in your life, you know, if you're having issues, because life does have its ups and downs. For those of you that don't know, the rains that we're having in Sydney at the moment, there were cars floating down Parramatta Road the other day, only 2-3 days ago. And there are always issues. If you are sitting there and you expect your life to be plain sailing 100%, you need to maybe pop that little balloon that you're living in, because life is made up of issues, and how we handle those issues and how we come through those issues is what makes us stronger and what empowers us to be able to live more peaceful and happier lives ourselves, and of course to propel that on to others around us and encourage them. So have a look Right now, at the room you are sitting in listening to this, have a look at your desk. Have a look at the people around you that are with you. Have a close look at your pictures on the wall. What is going in energetically into your face unconsciously, subconsciously? What information are you feeding yourself by your environment? Is it really nice, positive stuff? Are you in a room that you love the color of the walls? Do you love the view that you're looking at? Take note of it. And I would also like to say, if you don't love it, if there is something that is not appealing to you about what you're looking at in areas of your life, then please have the courage to change it. You have the power to change your life wherever you are at. And we are all very, very good at giving ourselves millions of excuses of why we can't change it, why we can't do something, why this and that can't happen. Think about it for a moment. It is your life. And what you want in your life, it is up to you to decide. If you don't have the tools, go and get them. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. So if you want to change what's going on in your life, let me give you some tools now on how to change that externally with feng shui. So how did I become aware of feng shui? Let me tell you a little bit of a personal story here. It was many, many years ago. My son was about 6 years old, and his father and I had parted ways, and I found myself a single parent, and I didn't have a job at the time, although I have always been involved with the healing modalities. There are times that you go through phases of your life that, you're not working, and I didn't always have my own business, right? It took a lot of effort and a lot of learning for me to get my own business, stress-free management, and get it moving, because I was clueless when I started. And so here I am, if you can imagine, a mother with a 6-year-old child and no job and very, very little money to support me. And I remember I came across a book by a guy called George Birdsall, and it's called Feng Shui, The Ancient Art of Placement. And I still have this book in my hand right now as I'm talking to you. And I use this for my courses that I teach in feng shui. And today, as you are aware, this is beginner's feng shui, so I'm going to keep it really, really simple for you. So what I did was, on page 69 of this book, I don't even know if it's still available, it has a grid of the areas of our life and how we can enhance them. And after I finished reading this book, I sort of thought to myself, well, look, I don't know much about it, but let's go with trial and error and see what I can do to improve my life. So it had in this book that, the stove is the center of the family and the heart of the family, and being the warmth of the family, and about wealth. And also it had a little paragraph in there saying that one should never have, their back to the door when they're cooking. And I thought, well, the way my stove is positioned, yes, I do. And then it had that your wealth depends on the number of hot plates. I thought to myself, okay, let's see what we can do about the number of hot plates. I had four hot plates on the top of my stove. So I went down to the supermarket and I bought the cheapest mirrors I could find. And the stove was in a corner, so it had a wall each side at the back and at the side of it. And with a nail, I put these really, really cheap, tacky mirrors up on the wall. And that meant instead of four hot plates, I had four hot plates reflected in two mirrors at either side of this stove. And then, well, to make a very long story short, it was like a couple of days later, I got a phone call to go for an interview. And within the week, I had a job. And within the week, I also had a check in my hand for not a fortune, but enough money from somebody that I had lent some money some time ago. And I hadn't asked them for it back, but they had sent it back. So, as far as I was concerned, the mirrors were going to stay either side of my stove on the wall. And to this day, when you walk into my house, I have mirrored tiles around the sides of my stove. And that was my beginnings in feng shui. So, I'm recommending to people that you perhaps, if you haven't had a look at this closely in the past, even as a beginner, take a look. Now, don't try to change too many things at once because you will confuse your energy and you will confuse the inner energy and outer energy, for lack of a better description. I'm using those terms very loosely because we are talking about energy, of course. So if you can imagine a grid, imagine a square and divided into nine. And on the top left-hand side of your grid is your wealth corner. And I want you to now take a pen and draw yourself a square, a large square, and divide it into nine. And then in the top left-hand corner of that square, write wealth. In the next square, write fame. In the next square, write relationships. Underneath wealth, in the fourth square, write family, health. In the center square, next to family and health, write Tai Chi. And then in the square next to that, the one under relationships and next to Tai Chi, write creative children projects. In the bottom left-hand square, write inner knowledge, intuition. In the center next to it, career. And then on the far right bottom, helpful people and travel. Now, those squares that you've just done, inner knowledge, intuition, career, helpful people and travel, they are the front. So underneath the square, write front so that you know that is always the front. Now, this is a grid. Okay. Now, the reason we've written front there is you were to st if you were to stand on the front street looking at your house. Now, if you're in a block of apartments, it's exactly the same. If you were standing at the front looking at your block of apartments, your far left corner, as it is marked on that grid, is your wealth corner. Your far right corner, as it is marked on that grid, is your relationships corner. Now, if it's a block of apartments, you may not be able to do something about what is in those corners. If you're living in a house and you've got your garbage bin, though, in your wealth corner, you need to move it. If you're living in a house and you've got your garbage bin in your relationships corner, you need to move it. That is assuming you want good relationships, and I take it that most of us do. So this grid can be applied to the block of land that your building is on. It can then be applied to the actual house. Now, we don't all live in square houses, but if you use the front, the part that you've labeled front, as the front of your front door, wherever your front door is, you may find your front door is somewhere inside the grid. It may be in the middle and have a part either side. Your house may be in an H shape. Whatever shape your house is, the front goes where the front door is. And then whatever is in the far left-hand corner of your house is your wealth corner. Far right-hand corner is relationships. So you now need to look. If you have a laundry in your wealth corner, where the water is running down the pipes and running away, that could be where your money is running away to why your money is not sticking and staying with you. If you have a laundry in your relationships corner, could be the same reason. Okay, so you look at your house and then you start room by room. You walk into a room and wherever, and then place that grid onto the room. And wherever you walk into the room, remember the front is always the front. So if you walk into a room and the door for that room is on the far left-hand side, then you are walking into the square of inner knowledge and intuition. And your far right-hand corner is always your relationships corner, and your far left-hand corner, your wealth corner. So you need to look at how you can place this grid on your land, on your home, the house, the apartments, and on each individual room. And just make some simple changes in the corners that you want to change in your life. So for instance, let's take wealth. If you're needing more money in your life, have a look at what's in your wealth corner. Now, there are colors that go with each corner. And to keep it simple, the color for the wealth corner, we're looking at blues and purples and reds. Okay. Relationships, reds, pinks, and whites. And there is also a cycle that goes with this. I'm trying to keep it simple for you and not give you too much information at the one time. And I'm deliberately saying this slowly so that you can keep up with me. So there's the grid. There are colors that go with this grid that you can find easily in books and on the internet. And then there is a cycle. Now, the cycle is built around the elements of fire, earth, metal, water, and wood. And you need to keep in mind some elements do not go with other elements. For example, fire and water do not go together because water puts out fire. So if you're wanting to enhance a corner of your house or a corner of, say, your relationships or your dollars in your pocket, you need to make sure that you do not put something destructive for that element into that corner. For example, fire enhances earth. So you could put candles into the earth corner of your home. Earth enhances metal. Metal enhances water. So the north or water area of a room can be enhanced with metal colors such as gray and metal items. Water nourishes wood. Fire enhances wood because wood burns. I also need to say, you would have heard me say north and south, and you that the elements, not that the elements are different in the different hemispheres, but remember, we are in Australia. So you need, when you're doing this, you need to make sure that you are looking at it from the perspective of being in the southern hemisphere. Okay? Very, very important. And there are also, there is something called the Pakua. It's spelled Pakua. Again, apologies for my Aussie accent. And this is actually the, it's like a, not a grid, you can buy a Pakua mirror, and it's like a 50-cent piece in Australia. It has eight sides, and basically each side of this mirror And each side of this diagram describes the elements and the what it has a relationship to in order for you to be able to work with it properly. So, as you can tell from what I'm saying, it's not something that can easily be picked up in just a couple of do this and do that. It is a process. The study of feng shui is a process and an intuitive and energetic process as well. So while you can read the books and find out what you need to do in certain corners, you also need to be intuitive about what you're doing and how you're doing it. I also need to add that there are different disciplines of feng shui. There are different ways that it is done depending on where the practitioner in feng shui has been taught and what country and where they're coming from. So you need to look at this with an open mind and you need to use your intuition and rely on your intuition to lead you in the direction of what you need to do. And I'll give you a really good example of this. I had a bedroom where in feng shui, it is considered inauspicious to have your feet towards the door when you're sleeping. And I had a bedroom, the type of bedroom, where it was very, very difficult at the time to not have that position because of the shape of the room. And I actually rang the writer of this book that I've referred you to. And, being a novice back then, I said to him, "Well, look, what do I do?" And he said, "Look, there are always remedies for this." And he said, "I have a very similar room, and I simply put my bed on an angle and put something at the bottom of the bed to break the energy." So there are different remedies that we can use to enhance the energy in an area, and things that enhance energy are plants, fans, electrical equipment, basically things that move. So if you want more energy created in an area, for the energy to flow and move, then you put these things in that area. If you want the energy harnessed, for example, if you have a long hallway which may create too much energy in a home and you want that energy to slow down a little, then you need to put something heavy at the bottom of the hallway. Another example is something that is perhaps not too great to have is a front door opposite a back door. I call it money in, money out. It creates a very fast flow of energy through the house. So we need to break that up. How would you break up that energy? You could perhaps hang a mobile from the ceiling or some wind chimes. So look around you. If you have, as we don't live in square houses, for example, if you have a house that is missing a corner of this square grid that I've given you, ways of bringing that corner in by putting a lead crystal in the window to bring that energy in, or if it's not windows, if you can put a mirror. And it only needs really a small mirror on the wall. If it wouldn't suit that room to put a huge mirror, you could put a small makeup mirror from a compact behind a picture to just bring that energy in on the wall from the corner of the house that is missing. So there are a lot of different remedies that you can use. And I'm going to actually go through some of these now with the reasons for them. So these are called basic cures, and the first one is bright objects, which draws in a negative space in terms of the negative space of part of your house missing. So if you have got a house that perhaps is missing a corner of the square to complete the square grid, You could put a crystal in the window. Mirrors also draw in a space that is missing. And as I said before, if it doesn't suit the room, simply put it behind a picture. Lights. Now, electrical lighting generates chi or energy in corners that need correcting. Sounds, the movement of sound, wind chimes or bells, they generate energy. Living objects, plants, flowers, fish, and this is quite often why you see the fish tank when you, in many Chinese and Asian restaurants, you will see a fish tank with fish or lobster or something in that fish tank to generate energy and money. Plants, fish bowls. Now you need to be careful where you place your fish bowls in your house. For example, putting the fish tank in a fire area would not really be a great idea. Moving objects, mobiles, fountains, windmills, they all generate energy and often help to slow down or modify negative energy that is there. Let's say something a little bit also about negative energy. If you have a street facing your house, that is causing what is often called sha chi, and sha chi is negative energy pointing towards your home from the street. Now think of it. The cars are coming down the street. The cars are generating energy. The cars may stop at the corner to turn left or right, but the energy is energy. It flows in the direction it started until, and it is headed straight for your house. So therefore, when there are instances of negative energy, you can basically look at ways of turning this away from your home, and you can buy one of these bagua mirrors. Again, apologies for my Aussie pronunciation, right? Now, there are mirrors that are concave and there are mirrors that are convex, and you need to work out what kind of mirror you need and point it towards wherever the negative energy is coming from. And make sure, though, whenever you're pointing a mirror in a certain direction, that it's not being aimed so that whatever is hitting that mirror is aiming at your neighbor's house. Because if you're deflecting energy away, negative energy away from your home, and you're aiming it at your neighbor's house across the road, you become responsible for that negative energy going to them and having to wear the karma for it. So we don't want to pick up any more karma, negative karma than we already have created for ourselves. How do we remedy this? You need to be careful the way you position the mirror, and you need to aim it back at the sky so that the sky can absorb it, so that it's not actually, I say the sky because it's the safest thing, and so that the sky can actually absorb the energy that wouldn't, and it's not going at your neighbor's home. Let's also look at fountains. Fountains can be used to generate chi in landscapes, gardens, or even internal displays. Windmills, heavy objects. Now, heavy objects, if you want to stabilize a relationship, for example, a heavy object placed in the relationship corner of a bedroom may help. So this becomes very important. Under electrical objects, that would be moving energy, we have got stereos, fans, and remember also, objects are often symbolic. Remember to look at your colors. Red is used to generate energy, and there's a little regarding relationships, something that you can do: a red ribbon wrapped around, or a thin red stripe painted on the side of a stair or a banister will draw people in. a red ribbon wrapped around door handles that clash. You know how sometimes you have two doors that are opposite each other, or two doors, a cupboard opens onto a door. It's thought to lessen arguments in the home. And there are lots and lots of books out there that you can go and look at that will give you these remedies or cures that will prove useful in how you arrange your home and how you decorate your home. Now, having said this, I feel I can't really move on without saying something about clutter. We all accumulate clutter from time to time. And in the very beginning, when I started to talk today, and I encouraged you to have a look at what is around you in your home, is your room cluttered? Is there things there? Is there old energy? We've all got old energy that we hang on to that is around us that we don't want to let go of. We don't think of it as old energy. It might be the magazines from 5 years ago, from Foxtel that you've shoved under the cupboard, because you just couldn't be bothered going through them to throw them out. They're taking up space and they're creating negative old energy. So it is a good idea for you to declutter your home, to create a sacred space in your home, for it to be a place where you want to be. And how do you do that? It's an awesome task. You know, when you think about it, of going through all your cupboards, my answer is do it one room at a time. Stand in a room. For example, today your task may be your lounge room. Stand in your lounge room. Have a look around your lounge room and say to yourself, what is in this room that doesn't need to be? And then I'm afraid you've got to be ruthless. If it doesn't need to be there, let it go. Why? Because that is symbolic of how you are also letting go of the things that you no longer need in your life. And isn't that sometimes hard to do? How many times have we hung on to stuff that we should have let go of in our lives, in our relationships, that job that you go to, that you trudge along to every day, that you have been telling somebody that you hate for the last 6 months? I'm not saying go there and quit your job. I'm saying start looking for a new one. Look at ways that you can improve your life. Look at ways that you can improve your relationships so that you take advantage of the fact that your life is a constant journey. And clutter is a big reflection of how we hold on to things in our life that we no longer need. The sentimentality that we have perhaps for Uncle Joe's urn. Oh, that was Uncle Joe's urn. If you really want to keep Uncle Joe's urn and Uncle Joe has passed on, make it a centerpiece. Find a place for it in the house and make it a centerpiece of some kind and find the correct area to put it in. There are places that we can put our monuments in inverted commas to our predecessors, photos of people that have passed on. Think about it. What feeling does that invoke in you? Feelings of love, but also feelings of sadness, perhaps. And you need to consult that in terms of where your life is at and where you're placing it and what repercussions it is having on your energy. I'm going to take advantage of the fact that I do have some books, rather good books on feng shui. And I'm going to refer you to these because I have found these really, really helpful in my learning of the art of feng shui and in the use of it in my home. And another one of these is called Feng Shui Do's and Taboos, A Guide to What to Place Where by Angie Ma Wong. That's spelled Angie Ma, Ma Wong. And I found this, I bought this book when I was in Hawaii. and I found it very, very useful over the years. The book itself contains numerous do's and don'ts. For example, I've just turned to a page here on ashes. Do bury ashes away from your home, right? Now, how many of us have perhaps the ashes of a dog or a cat, and that we may have, or a little urn of ashes from our pet, and we're keeping it in a corner of our house. It doesn't really belong inside our home. It also goes on, for example, do place the three-legged toad on the floor inside the house, facing in as if just entering. You can also put them inside cabinets under chairs. Don't put the toad directly facing the front door or on an altar, as it means you are facilitating your money going out. So just these little bits and pieces that, which way you face these ancient little symbols that are used in feng shui, it's very, very important to know. And for that, you need to consult somebody who knows what they're doing, and you need to consult a book if you're just learning yourself, or do a course. There are some wonderful, wonderful courses out there, even if it's only a beginner's course, to get you started. With regard to the north, south, east, and west methods of feng shui, you can go and buy a compass, and it's always advisable to find out where the directions are. Where is north in relation to your home? Where is south, east, and west? So that you can start also looking at the compass method of feng shui, as well as the nine square grid that I have given you. Now, I'm just going to say a few things because this is such a wide topic. I'm just going to say a few things about items in our home. For example, the computer is a very, very powerful tool because it is one of communication and creativity, and it is important to know where it needs to go in your office. The copier, remember, the copier represents multiplication and duplication. Where should this go in your office? You need to consult someone as to what to do about where you place it, because you don't want to be placing it somewhere where you are going to multiply anything that is negative energy or negative space. Similarly, your desk, the way you place your desk in the office, it needs to be so that your back is not facing the door. You conduct business at your desk, or you conduct your study at your desk. You do not want to turn your back on your business or your study. So it's always advisable to put your desk facing the entrance to the room, and not to sit in line with it, as you rather with it with the actual entrance, not to sit in line with the entrance, because remember, you will be in the path of negative energy, and your back should be towards a corner or a wall for support, in the same way as you should have your bed. The bed head needs to be against a wall to support the bed head, so that you are supported while you are sleeping, so that support comes to you while you are in your resting state. It needs to be remembered regarding exercise equipment. This is for improving health and wellness and physical fitness, and usually these are made of metal. Now, metal destroys wood, so you shouldn't be placing any exercise machines that are made of metal in a wood area of your home. So it becomes very important to use these grids and look at these grids and apply them in the correct hemispheres, If you're listening from the Northern Hemisphere, the Northern Hemisphere will have a different grid to the Southern Hemisphere. And I need to say that I have also heard practitioners of feng shui saying that some practitioners saying that this is irrelevant. What do you follow? As always, refer to your intuition. Your intuition is your best guide. No matter what you're learning, whether it be meditation or feng shui, your intuition is always your best guide. So, also, I need to say something about the files in your office. The files in your office represent your past, your present, and your future business. So, what are we going to do with them? If you keep them on the floor or on higher shelves and bookcases, where have you got them? Have a look around you if you're listening to this in your office. Are your files on the floor? Are they just thrown in the floor on the floor disrespectfully? Or are they sitting nicely stacked? How tidy and untidy is your office? What have you done with the actual instruments that are bringing in your money and your business? Should we perhaps be doing a lifting and vacuum after this show to get them in the right place? And of course, all this ties in with the year that you were born. Now, we've just had Chinese New Year not long ago, and each Chinese New Year is a different animal, as most of us already know. Where do you figure in that? Do you know which animal you are? Do you know what was happening in the year that you were born? Do you know what corresponds astrologically to the year you were born in terms of how it will affect your life and your journey through life? If you don't know, then perhaps you need to do some research in this direction as well, if this is something that you're interested in, because it does have an effect. We did a show on astrology a few weeks ago, and I'm sure those of you that listen to it and are interested in astrology gleaned a lot from listening to Nina. But there are many different methods of astrology, and the Asian astrologers are renowned. It's very, very old and very, very wise the way they do their astrology. And also, I need to add, very, very complicated. And I don't pretend for one moment to know very much about it. If I wanted to know about this area, I would be consulting someone. And I really suggest, if you find somebody that is a specialist in this, please do sit down and listen and learn and take in how this applies to you and how you can apply it to your life. So, as we have seen, we have got constructive and destructive cycles in terms of the energy, and it becomes very, very, very important to follow the constructive cycle as we are attempting to put constructive things into our lives. So, the constructive cycle, if you imagine a circle, it goes from fire to earth to metal, to water, to wood, to fire. So if you have bright colors in pictures, that's fire. Upright wooden chairs, upright chairs are wood. Horizontal is the earth, a table. Blue, water. Metal blinds. They all work together to balance a room. Have a look at your room, what is happening there. And then you have the destructive cycle. To subdue fire, for example, you would add water or earth elements. Water subdues fire and earth drains it. To subdue earth, you would add wood or metal elements. Wood subdues earth and metal drains it. To subdue metal, you would add fire or water elements. To subdue water, you would add earth or wood elements. And to subdue wood, you would add metal or fire elements. And why are we doing so much subduing? These are part of the remedies that we would need to perhaps add to areas of our home or office, because we do not live in perfectly constructed feng shui houses and rooms. And remember also, these elements are in the body. So it is said that too much wood energy makes for stubborn people. And not enough wood energy creates a situation where things change randomly without control or reason. This is within the body, okay? Too much water energy creates a tendency to be overly emotional. And not enough water leaves your feelings drained and emotionless. Too much metal energy can make energy sharp, enhancing feelings of sarcasm, feeling nosy, self-righteous, or a need to belittle others. Not enough metal can make you feel scattered and confused. So these affect the way your body functions and the way the energy flows in the body. Too much earth energy can cause a smothering and stifling, and not enough earth energy can create a strong concern for your needs. Too much fire energy can increase feelings of anger and intensity in your actions. Not enough fire can leave you feeling cold, distant, and unattached from other people. So there needs to be a balance, and this is what this show today is all about. How do we create a balance? What are we doing inside and outside our lives to assist in creating a balance in our lives? How are we doing this? What are we doing? I hope I haven't confused you by throwing too much at you at the one time, but I know that this show can be downloaded and you can refer to it and take notes from it. So you can perhaps make some notes on how you can apply this to your life. Lastly, just to conclude, I would like to talk about something called the Nine Palaces. And this is a little walk that you can take around your house, from to walk the nine palaces, you need to start at the front door, which is number one, and basically walk from the front door to the far right hand back room of your home. And then that becomes your first walk. And then come back to the midway point on the left-hand side of your home. That becomes three, your third point. Your fourth point, you walk to your, if you imagine this Bagua mirror, the nine, the eight-faced mirror, right? The eight-faced diagram. And you're walking from the center of the first face in front of you to the center of the far right face to the center of the left-hand side face to the center of the back left-hand side face to the center of the front side right-hand side face, back up to the center of the right-hand side face. I'll try and do a scan for you and have this as one of the pictures that you are looking at so that you will know what I mean by the nine palaces. To the center of the left-hand side, front face, and then to the very center of the back of this nine-sided figure, this Bagua mirror. Okay, walking the walk of the nine palaces, and just observe around you what you see, and look and be open to how you can enrich your home. And this is called the walk of enrichment. And there are traditionally nine questions to ask, that you ask yourself. What do I use this area for? Am I happy with this? What would I change in this area? What would I take away? What would I leave? And it is really amazing what you will notice if you start walking like this around your home, keeping your intuition open, keeping your thoughts open, and being open to change, being open to increase your journey, to make it better, to take with you all the good things that you have around you and within you, and to make it part of the world around you in your home and office. Look, this is a very, very complex subject. There is no way I could say enough about it in an hour or 3 hours or a day even. There are feng shui masters that have studied this for years. I don't pretend for one moment to be one of them. I am a feng shui practitioner. When I go in and I look at someone's home, I'm using all the faculties of the knowledge from the courses and the books, as well as my intuition, as well as my exposure with energy healing and Reiki. And I put that all together. And of course, we always have that outside energetic help from our angels and guides. And when you put that all together, then I use that to do a feng shui examination of your home and suggest remedies in keeping with the direction that you have told me, the bits in your life that is missing. In the same way, each one of you, I encourage you to put together what you have learned, put all your faculties together, put your intuition into it, do some reading, and don't be afraid to learn, to say that you don't know, to ask lots of questions. And if you're interested in this topic, then within, a couple of years' time, you too will start to pick up some of the ways that you can enhance your lives and perhaps also the lives of those around you. Remember, things are not always the way that they are read in books, and it is a very interesting journey to tune into ourselves, to the energy of other people as well, and to communicate and connect and contact with them and see where they are at with their lives, where you are at with your lives, and how between us all we can make this a better planet. And this is why the art of placement is so important. What can we do? What can we place differently, starting with our lives? What can we place differently in our gardens? And that extends to our parks, to our oceans, to our planet, to the universe. Where is our energy going? What are we doing with it? How can we make it better? So today has been very, very much a show to get you to look at where you're at, where you're placing your life, what positions you are placing yourself in, and to encourage you to go out there to learn and to be empowered. So I'm leaving you with that thought now. Please download the show. There's a lot of bits and pieces in it that I've tended to throw ad hoc as they've come to me. Information that enough, there should be enough information in today's show for you to get started without needing to go and buy a book, just to take some notes from it and consult your intuition. And as I've said, you've got the grids there that are coming up in the pictures that I've scanned, that are coming up in the pictures to give you some information as to where, how you should approach your house and what you need to do in terms of making your life better. So once again, this is Janetta Haim with Beyond the Heart. I leave you for another week, and I'm looking forward to seeing you all join me next week, and have a safe, happy, healthy, successful week. Blessings.
Bye for now from the Difference Radio Network. Thank you for joining us in opening humanity's heart and touching the lives of 6 billion people.